Liz read out from Acts chapter 9, and it's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? It's a wonderful scripture. Saul, if I say Paul, I mean Saul. You know, Saul became Paul. But Saul, he was so determined, wasn't he? He was in Jerusalem, and he wanted to go to Damascus, and he was so determined to get the Christians that had already fled from Jerusalem, and they fled to Damascus. Saul, he was so determined, and he went to the high priest to get letters to go and bring them back bound back to Jerusalem. He was so determined. And you can just imagine him, can't you? You can imagine him. It says, then Saul, breathing out murderous threats, went to the high priest, and, you know, how he could, and he wanted to bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, and you can imagine Paul, as he journeyed, he was going there thinking, what's going to happen? I'll be bringing back these Christians that I'll be bringing them back bound. And he was intending going into Damascus full of his own power and his own pomp and doing what he wanted to do. But what actually happened? He was led, wasn't he? How did he go into Damascus? He was led by those men that were with him. He was led. He was blind. He was completely and totally helpless, wasn't he? And it makes me think, when I read this scripture, it makes me realize that no one is too far away from God. No one's too far away, no matter how entrenched in their belief system that they are, no matter what they believe, no matter how long they've believed it, no matter how strongly they believe it, no one is too far away from God, are they? And God, he spoke to Paul, didn't he? He spoke, and Paul was trembling with astonishment. And I know people, and this is a comfort to me, and I hope to you, that we know people that are so entrenched in what they believe. They believe it so strongly. They're not bothered about the gospel or Christianity. And we can think, well, I've been praying for these people for years and years and years. Nothing's happened. And we can give up, can't we? We can forget. But the Bible tells us that suddenly a light shone around Paul or Saul. Suddenly. Now, the Christians would have been praying for their persecutor, wouldn't they? They would have been praying for Saul, and this is what happened. God answered their prayers. So people that you know, maybe relatives, friends, acquaintances, maybe workmates or ex-workmates, don't stop praying for them, because no one is beyond God's power, are they? That's good news, isn't it? No one is beyond God's power. Saul was spoken to God by God, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, Jesus said Saul twice. It's important. In other words, it's important. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And again, Saul says, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Jesus said to Saul, what he didn't say was, why are you persecuting my church? Or why are you persecuting my people? Or why are you persecuting those I love? No, Jesus said to him, why are you persecuting me? In other words, he doesn't differentiate between himself and his people. When people are persecuted, they are persecuting Jesus Christ. And it makes me think that they're worldwide. There are many, many Christians that are persecuted, millions. There are over 150,000, I believe, in North Korea alone that are being persecuted. But there are, you know, in some countries, they're persecuted, you know, terribly, imprisoned and put to death. But I was reading the other day, we're linked to Open Doors, and we pray frequently for Christians in these countries. And I was just reading about this man, and really, when Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" it really speaks to me in the fact that, you know, I should, if I can, pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that are being persecuted. Anyway, this brother here, he says, his name is, just got to put my glasses on, in India, hang on a second. In India, persecution has been part of Kalia's life story since the time he came to Christ. He has been physically beaten, cast out by his family and community. His house was burned down, and most tragically of all, two of his children died in mysterious circumstances. People told me to leave Christ, yet somehow the resolve to follow him was stronger than ever. I knew only one thing. Even though I had no comfort, even though I had questions, I must cling to him. For he knew. Where else could I go? I kept quiet and lived. And that's the situation with a lot of Christians, you know, worldwide. They might not be incarcerated, they might not be tortured or anything like that, but they live in countries and in neighborhoods where they're constantly, you know, there's persecution, opposition constantly with them. And many people, many of the Christians, they keep quiet and live. And, you know, we can pray for them, can't we? You know, we can pray for our brothers and sisters. They haven't got anyone where to go. You know, they can't really have fellowship or anything because it's too dangerous. But Jesus approached Saul, and he changed Saul's life. From that moment on, Saul's life was completely changed. He went everywhere. He did whatever he felt he had to do. Jesus said to him, "Arise, go to Damascus." And so he had to go to where there were people, and Ananias prayed for him, and something like, it says, something like scales fell from his eyes. And that's the same with us, isn't it? It's the same with us. When we come to know Jesus Christ, something like scales falls from our eyes, and we have new lives. We look at life differently. Everything that happens, we know that Jesus is there with us. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and this is a wonderful verse, if I can find it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." This is Jesus. Purged our sins and sat down. When he sat down, it's a finished work, isn't it? A finished work. And Paul realized, even at this early stage in his Christian life, that Jesus Christ has purged his sins. They were forgiven. And he had a new life. And it's the same for us, isn't it? This is how we have our confidence to live our lives, because there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1, 3 says, "He's given us new birth by his great mercy." Paul went from one extreme to the other. He was a persecutor, then he became an evangelist. And Paul realized that as his sins are swept away, that whatever he felt God wanted him to do, he did, didn't he? He went all over the place. All sorts of things happened to him. And it's the same for us, isn't it? We might not need to go where Paul went, but we can do what we feel God wants us to do. It says, suddenly a light shone around him. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And that's interesting, that, isn't it? I looked up in Young's Concordance, round about him. A light shone round about him. In other words, it was around him. It didn't say a light shone near him or a light shone in front of him. It shone around him, around about him. There was no escape. Paul was there in the light, and he couldn't escape. And we are children of the light, aren't we? It says that we have God's light with us. Now you are light in the Lord, Ephesians 5:8 says. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, we're into his wonderful light. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And we are children of the light. And there's no escape. It says in Ephesians 1:4. Where does it say it? It says it is. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. It's wonderful, isn't it? That our salvation isn't a case of what we can do or how hard we try. It's what God has planned. It said he's predestined us. He's spoken to us. He's planned it. And as he approached Paul, as he surrounded him with this light and revealed to him his new life, that all his sins were forgiven and he had a new life in Jesus Christ, it's no different to us. It's no different for us. We are children of light. We have a new future. We are guided by God. And because God wants to remind us that he chose us in him, it encourages us, doesn't it? These words of Scripture are not man's words, are they? They're not man's. They're from heaven. They're God's. And God knows that we need encouraging. He knows that we can get faint-hearted. He knows that we can maybe sometimes neglect to pray and neglect to read our Bibles. But God wants to remind us today that we are children of the light, that he has chosen you. He has chosen you. He has chosen me. And he wants to remind us that, you know, we are chosen. We're surrounded by God's light. And he has picked us. And he wants to remind us that the message that we have is just wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. Jesus said in John chapter 10, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Talking about his sheep, talking about his people. And then he repeats himself, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, you know, the Lord wants us to have this assurance, to have this confidence that you are his. That you are his. That you belong to him. As long as you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, you belong to him. And we need to have that assurance, because it's only from that standpoint that we can tell people effectively about Jesus Christ. Because if we think, oh, you know, I forgot to pray yesterday, or I had that wrong thought the other day, and I might not have remembered to ask God's forgiveness about this, that, or the other, we're on shaky ground. God wants to remind us that, no, Jesus Christ purged your sins and sat down at the right hand of God. He wants us to be confident and know that we have new life, and the new life doesn't depend on our own abilities, purely and only on Jesus Christ crucified. And it takes this pressure off, doesn't it? We are children of the light. You are children of the light. You are surrounded by God's light. Every letter Paul wrote, grace and mercy to you. Grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God, taking upon himself all our sins, brings peace to our hearts. When we know we're forgiven, we know we've received the grace of God, it brings peace. Peace. Peace to live. Isn't it? That's what it is. Peace to live in this dark world. Peace to live whatever the news says. However dark the future may appear, we have peace. Peace. The light of God in your life. Sins forgiven. Slates wiped clean. New lives. A wonderful message to tell people that we meet. Thank you, Jesus.